Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 11.
Bum, bum, bum. I feel like the Corn Wizard.
You are the Corn Wizard.
So this, you're late, guys. The podcasts are coming all out of order, just so everybody knows, as recording them.
Yeah.
So this is the first one we've recorded since I've had my corn hat.
Ah, yes.
So I'm a corn wizard now. We're going to do the Hudson Valley UFO incident.
Ooh.
But we haven't read reviews in forever because our Wednesdays are like booked and we haven't read Patreon names. So I'm going to do that real fast.
It's been a while since we've done Patreon names.
Yeah. So this is from Lisa D. I think it's Lisa. L-E-S-L-I.
Leslie.
That's Leslie?
Yeah.
Leslie D. Toy Love Flavors of the Forest. Thank you guys for recommending the fabulous garlic dust with a hint of sea salt by Flavors of the Forest. This stuff is totally amazing. It's so good, I could snort it. I probably would, LOL. Definitely 5 stars. You guys rock. Love you.
Oh, since you brought up Flavors of the Forest, thank you, Leslie. You know, I'm just going to endorse it again right now. It's our sponsor, Flavors of the Forest. You can find their raw garlic dust powder, or Bigfoot breath, as it's named.
Buy it with the link below, because that's how we get our kickback.
Yes, and the link of this episode below. Click that link, go to the website. If you are in need of garlic powder, spicy or non-spicy variety, this is the highest quality you are going to find.
It's good.
And I'm not just saying that to say it because they're our sponsor. I'm saying it because I mean it. And This stuff is freaking awesome. It's just amazing. I can't express enough how.
Don't worry, they'll get an ad later.
Yes, it's awesome stuff. So Flavors of the Forest, check the link below.
Okay.
Buy it. Trust me. You will not be disappointed.
All right. Next one is from T.Y. Huleman Reed. Great show is the title. Y'all are rock stars. I live in Utah. I love the Uinta Basin season finale. There are definitely something strange going on over there. Have you heard the story about the UHP who had been placed or who was paced by a huge wolf just outside his patrol car with the red eyes? Hope you guys get some more awesome stories soon.
Ooh, we're going to have to look into that story.
I'm going to have to look into that too.
Yeah, thank you.
Next one is from, okay, you read the name. It's right under the date.
Oh boy. Right under the date there? Metalcore Morticia.
There's just no spaces, and with my weird brain thing,
yeah,
I need spaces.
Metalcore Morticia.
Love the tangents, is the title. These guys are so funny and informative. It's like sitting in a room chatting and BSing about science and the supernatural. Love these guys.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
It's exactly what we're doing. With Yeah, thank you, Metalcore Morticia.
Fatos Redux.
Okay.
Best podcast in the corn. Love the stories and the research these guys provide. Jay is my spirit animal.
Oh, that's scary. Did you add that? At the
no,
end?
No. They put that. I promise.
Yeah, that's frightening.
All right. And new Patreon members really fast. Let me see. I think so. Sean Vanahus. That's where I'm going to start. If I miss somebody, please let me know. Sean was from the Hyena documentary.
Okay. Welcome to the cult, Sean.
Too Much Pizza Sauce. Welcome.
That's a great name.
Cody, welcome.
Cody, all right.
Rammy, welcome.
Rammy?
R-A-M-E-Y.
Rammy. Welcome, Rammy.
David, welcome.
Welcome, David.
Nick, welcome.
Welcome, Nick.
And Cujo.
Cujo, like the dog.
But not spelled like the dog.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably Cujo.
Okay, so it's Cujo. Okay.
We're going to go Cujo.
Well, welcome all you new members. Thank you for joining. Again, if you would like to join...
The mic already.
That was the cord. Didn't count. If you would like to join the corn cult...
We have so much fun. Like, literally, March Madness is going on right now. It's insane. You fill out brackets. You get prizes. We give away t-shirts. That's another thing I want to talk about before we get into it. I know this is... I'm trying to be fast. Apparently, there's been a little miscommunication about our merch shop.
Okay.
Every podcast art we've ever done... is available as a t-shirt. There are some seasonal availabilities. There are also stuff we've never used as a t-shirt art on the merch shop as well.
Oh, really?
Like Sam the Sundown Clown.
Oh, yes, that's new.
The time-traveling dinosaur, like all kinds of t-shirt. So if you like the Bigfoot in the cornfield, that's a t-shirt. If you like the Snallygaster one just came out with Teddy Roosevelt and his hyena pet Bill fighting it out, there's all kinds. Check them out. Okay. I think that's it. What do you have on your list? Did we get everything?
One last thing before. If you enjoy our show and you enjoy listening, and your favorite parts of the show are the science aspects of it, you know, if you really like those nitty-gritty science facts and you feel like, you know, learning is your favorite part of the show, check out our Friday show, Freaky Fauna Friday. And just, if you like the animals and nature and relaxation, why don't you pop on over to Freaky Fauna Friday. Every Friday, you get about a 10 to 15 minute breakdown of a freak of nature that exists.
I think this week's is Pirate's Eyeballs.
Pirate's Eyes. Is that this week or next?
Yeah, that's whatever.
It's one,
whatever.
One of them. But either way, you learn about a new animal with an insane quality to it, and it's science heavy, research heavy, and it's short and quick and relaxing. So that's my pitch for Freaky Fauna Friday.
Link below. All right, ready to get into it?
Now I'm ready.
Have you ever heard of the Hudson Valley UFO incident?
I don't think so. I don't even know where the Hudson Valley is.
New York. We'll talk about that.
Oh, New York?
Mm-hmm. It's weirdly famous, not famous.
Okay.
In UFO circles, you know, everybody knows about it, kind of deal.
Okay.
But as far as it's one of the few mass UFO sightings that the public doesn't really talk about.
Hmm.
You know, everybody talks about the Battle of LA and then, you know, the LA lights.
Right.
All these really famous thousands of people seeing them.
But I've never heard of the Hudson one.
The Hudson Valley one is even more, you know, it's crazy, but nobody ever talks about it. And how it happened, we're going to talk about Hynek and his involvement. He has a weird involvement even with this, with the Project Blue Book and stuff like that. So I'll just start the article and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Oh, P.S. This is a low-researched episode because I had a busy weekend.
Busy, yes.
It was great. Painted the rooms and everything, so taking a relaxing weekend.
Good, because I had a busy weekend, too.
Next week is all science. Oh. Actually, two or three weeks in a row, it's pretty science-heavy.
Oh, I'm ready.
So, sometimes UFOs show up in the most seemingly unlikely places. The area of New York's Hudson River Valley... is known to be quaint, historic, beautiful, and agricultural heavy, with a prominent winemaking region. So upstate New York, essentially.
Okay.
You know, it's
the nicer part.
Yeah.
The part further away from...
Not New York City.
Yeah, furthest away from the city.
It's like Illinois.
Southern Illinois and Chicago?
Yeah. Like completely different worlds.
Worlds, yeah, exactly.
Southern Illinois is beautiful with some like mountains and, all, you know, it's gorgeous. Here, many educated professors... have their homes in upscale neighborhoods, and it's one of the least places you would expect to be ground zero for some of the most intense UFO activity ever to occur. Yet for a few years, starting from 1981, the peaceful Hudson River Valley began to gain a reputation as a hotspot for the otherworldly phenomena that granted much discussion to this day.
Mm.
So what do you think so far? You know anything?
No.
One paragraph in?
I got it all figured out already. No.
Nothing?
No.
Come on. You always guess the ending.
Don't make me ruin it already. Of course I know what's going to happen.
You could beat your record.
Oh, no, not in this one.
It all began widely throughout the New Year's Eve on December 31st, 1981, when an unnamed off-duty police officer who was out in his yard in Kent, New York, with his family just a few minutes before the start of the new year. But this was to provide a bit more of exciting than the normal. Off in the distance, he spied a group of red, green, and white lights that approached from the south, He mistook it for a plane.
Oh, there you go. Red, green, and white lights.
Yeah, red, green, white lights, mistook it for a plane. However, as the object approached, he could see that it was rather than a plane, it was multicolored lights that were embedded within a boomerang-shaped craft of some sort, which slowly passed right over their heads, only at a height of about 500 feet. And it was only an eerie, faint, and humming sound. So just a real quiet, like, sound, you know. And we've heard that a lot with UFOs. That's just light hum.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much silent unless you're really close to them. 500 feet's not that far, you know.
No, not at all.
For this thing to be massively above him.
Yeah.
But he could be closer, it could be farther, you know. We talk about that with judging space or air distances is really hard because there's nothing to compare them to up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be massive and further away or smaller and much closer.
This just triggered a memory of mine.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the ship that dropped you off the one time?
No, but it was somewhere I saw in the sky. So when I was young, at my cousin's house, they lived over on, it's that road leaving Ada just before you leave town, heading south, and there's a cemetery there, and you can turn left or right. You know, the way you turn right, there's that right-hand turn. You don't have to stop the turn, you know what I'm talking about? Or you could turn left and head towards, like, Kenton. You know what I mean? You know that road I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
They used to live on that road, about like 2 miles to the left. So there's the east there or that way. And I was there as a kid, probably about seven, eight, nine, somewhere in that age range, 10, I don't know. I was over there and I was in their backyard. And their backyard's like, it's got trees and stuff. Trees, you know, by the house too. So you don't got like direct, you know, you can't see the whole entire sky above you. You know what I mean? It's just bits and pieces, but, you know, still a big swath, but you just can't see the whole from horizon to horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in their backyard, and I remember hearing something I thought, like, was flying over. And I looked up, and literally, I thought it was a big plane, came flying right over the house, right above the trees, but it was, like, massive, like the size of a jumbo jet plane, came flying right over their house, super fast over the trees. And I don't remember it being super loud, but I remember hearing it. But I remember it being huge and only seeing it for like that really quick, like swooped by. And I don't now, as a kid, I always thought it was just a plane. I just saw a plane up close, like a plane flying close to the trees, but like a jet. Now, as an adult, there's no way that's what that was. When the heck would a big jet be flying right over the trees? But I remember this. I swear.
I believe you. No, here's the thing is I'm not questioning your memory.
I just don't know what it was now.
No, every time you open your mouth, I'm more and more convinced you've been abducted by aliens. Because as we do this show and the show progresses, and, you know, there's like 80 or 90,000 people listening now, they've all heard it as you start to unravel memories. And with these UFO abductions, no joke.
But I have no lost time in this. I have nothing. I remember seeing it once. And it's gone.
Keep in mind, you don't know you have lost time because you don't remember. You didn't have any of these memories until we started doing the show. And you're like, this reminded me of something that I completely forgot about until right now. My cousins,
they would have said something if I was like gone for a while or anything.
No, I'm just saying they were just checking on you then.
Just a swoop by?
Yeah, because it happens with UFO abductees. They get checked on.
So I remember I was standing in their backyard in this cement slab.
So much.
That I think led to their septic system. I remember standing on that. See, right by their swing set.
The underground base.
Yeah. No, but I remember seeing this thing.
So you just, we've been doing this for 3 years, and you just remembered now you've seen a UFO?
When he said something about, like, well, I don't think it was a UFO.
Unidentified flying object. Yeah,
I never thought of it as a UFO before. I wish, in my head, it was a big jumbo jet that flew over. But it didn't, like...
make any noise, went on fire.
No, I remember it made a noise, but it wasn't, like, super loud. Like
a jumbo jet. Yeah,
like, flying by. Or, you know, you hear jets flying over your head, you know, and they pass. If they're close enough. But no, it wasn't anything like that. It just flew by really fast. I can't explain it, but I don't know.
Back to the cop.
I don't know why that reminded me of it, but it did.
Because you're abducted by aliens.
Mm.
Back to the cop.
All right.
So real fast, giant boomerang embedded with multicolored lights flying right over his house. Really close with his family. He was out for the, you know, for the new year. Probably going to let off fireworks. It would then turn out that there were many other witnesses to this incident at this same time. On the nearby Interstate 87, several motorists also observed the object and were so awed by it, they stopped their vehicles along the road and watched it make its indecipherable journey across the sky. One of the motorists was 55-year-old Edwin, didn't they give his full name, who would explain that the massive boomerang or V-shaped object was big enough to block out the stars, and he could see the object project some sort of light beam to the ground, like it was scanning for something.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly, Henson, which is Edwin's last name, would also claim that he made what he believed to be some sort of telepathic contact with the craft. His mind was filled with strange images and thoughts that were not his own, and a sensation that something was reading his mind and telling him not to be afraid. So right there, before I continue, it is right over this highway. There's all kinds of cool art depictions of this. It's got, like, gridded lights under it, like tens of thousands of lights.
Okay.
Tiny, though. This big main beam that's coming out. And it kind of looks like our, what is it? What's the spy jet?
Oh, the, I know what you're talking about.
The big flat black triangle. That
yeah. The stealth.
It's like that, but absolutely massive, but moving super slow, like hot air balloon slow.
Okay.
Just kind of gliding almost. And it's scanning, and this beam of light being projected. Several of the other witnesses also talk about it. As if it was looking for something.
Kind of like, you ever seen that movie, War of the Worlds, with Tom Cruise in it?
Which War of the Worlds? Is that the new one or the old one?
Well,
newish.
Newish, I guess.
The newer
came
one.
Out in like
yes.
late 2008.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They did that where it did the light things and it was mm-hmm. scanning over, looking for, I guess, life to,
well, yeah, to eat.
To eat, it, yeah.
To the biographs.
Right. But yeah, same thing.
So, yeah, so and he gets this feeling that it's connecting with him on a telepathic level. Not the first time, not the last time this has been talked about in UFO circles.
Right.
Says it. He feels like he's getting information downloaded, but also getting his brain scanned and that little angel talk at the very end, be not afraid kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's something using that as a cover, guys, so you don't freak out. I don't think it's a good thing.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's just an odd, right?
Yeah. Oh, very, yeah.
Okay. This would then prove to be far from the only one-off sighting of an unidentified flying object. And the strangest would resume in February of the following year. So we take about a year off, a year and a couple months.
Okay.
In February 26, 1982, a witness by the name of Marquette is, I'm going to go with, I'm not going to try to, it almost looks like Jake's last name. Driscoll.
Okay.
Was driving with her daughter when they saw a strange light in the sky that seemed to take up the position over a frozen lake. So they're driving down the highway. They look over. There's a big light over a frozen lake. It's just ice fishermen.
That's all it was.
Well, these aliens want to ice fish. So when they stopped the car, they could see the large V-shaped object with numerous red, blue, and amber lights dotting all over it, as well as an underside crisscrossing with some sort of metal beams.
Hmm.
So as best I could get from there, they did some drawings and stuff, like still the boomerang shape.
Yeah.
But it has the lights, slightly different colors, but with almost like I-beams running down it as structural supports.
Okay.
Kind of, if you remember old planes, like the really old ones where you see the wood stretching the canvas.
Oh, yeah. Wings. Yeah.
Looks kind of like that, but metal.
Okay. So this was seen over the lake?
Yeah. So this is what this mother and daughter seen.
Okay.
Sitting in position, not moving. So at one point, the object seemed to approach them, giving them a bit of a scare before making its way off into the night. So they're watching this object, and they're it's sitting still for a while, mm-hmm. and then it starts coming right at them. And mom's like, oh my, like, we're about to.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad.
Bad to
and then
eaten
it
by
turned away from them and slowly moved off. Very slow movements. The whole sightings of this craft so far, moving very slow.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much just almost meandering is from what I get from reading a lot of the eyewitness testimony. It's not like it's going anywhere with any certainty, just kind of moving around. It goes one direction, kind of makes it like a turn to go mm-hmm. somewhere else. It's not really doing anything. So at one point, like I said, it approached them. The object then would be seen by quite a few other witnesses as well. The police officer would get a deluge of panic calls at this time. Whatever it was did not seem to be finished frightening the area's residents, because on March 17th of 1983, again, a year and a month later.
That's odd. Okay.
It's always a year and a month almost. Okay. Exactly.
So 13 months.
Mm-hmm. It was seen again by a few witnesses in Brewster, New York, including the deputy clerk of Putnam County. Not our Putnam County. Dennis Staint? I'm going to go with his last name.
Sure.
Sorry, it's a weird last name. Who saw it from his home. So the actual clerk, the deputy clerk, sorry, not clerk, clerk of Putnam County. Saw it from his house.
Right, yeah.
Going by. So a lot of credible eyewitnesses in this. The first one was a cop. The last one's the deputy clerk. Which by credible eyewitnesses, what we mean is they have a lot to lose from speaking out about a UFO in 1980 something.
Right. They don't. They gain nothing from lying about it if they were lying about it.
So Staint was left utterly baffled by the bizarre incident, and as well as not a little frightened. He described this as thusly. Here's his actual description of the UFO. It was a very large object. The structure was very dark gray, metallic, almost glittering type look. The object seemed to be very silent. The lights were iridescent, bright. They stood out in the sky in three dimensions. It looked like a city of lights. It just was just hung in the sky with all of its brilliant colors. We followed the object around to the backyard, and at that point, a feeling of fright came upon me. Thoughts started to flood my mind. Thoughts of the craft touching the ground. Thoughts of an encounter with these alien beings. Thoughts of being abducted. All types of frightful thoughts started to enter my mind. So yeah, he gets a sense of panic towards the end of it.
Right.
Of seeing this craft. And that, you could say that's a human reaction.
Seeing this big thing.
Yeah, the lizard part of your brain finally screaming at you. Like, what are you doing, you idiot? Stop following what could be a predator.
Run.
Essentially a predator.
Right. Something that can eat you.
Or take you, or you can't do anything about.
Cause your death.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, we see this with a lot of cryptid UFO sightings, you know, the sense of awe that kind of goes with it, because you're seeing something so huge, and in every way he describes it, beautiful.
Right.
You know, the sea of lights flying in the sky. So as other sightings, it is also described as being a large boomerang-shaped craft around 131 feet long. And it makes me laugh because that's the number I keep seeing everywhere.
131?
Yeah.
Like, it's very specific.
It's the size of a Boeing is why.
Oh, it's the exact size?
Yeah. That's how long a Boeing is.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's like, it's as long as a Boeing, so it's 131
feet. Not 130.
And then more than 330 feet wide, with a magnitude of bright red, green, and amber, and white lights along the fuselage, which just means belly. And it's largely silent. This incident would lead to another just a week later. So this is our first double.
Okay.
Where they're happening kind of in succession.
Instead of being a year and a month. Yeah.
Where another object appeared on March 24th of 1983 in the area of Yorktown and Newcastle to set off a whole new wave of sightings. Police began to get flooded of calls from people seeing weird things in the sky, all describing the same V-shaped light craft, mostly describing it as large as a football field, although there were also reports of smaller objects darting through the sky, or even two or three different of these giant objects in different locations at the same time.
Okay.
So this sighting is where it goes off the rails.
Yeah.
There's multiple objects. Cops are getting thousands of calls from all over this big area of these same crafts. There's two or three big ones and a bunch of little ones darting around.
Okay.
Among the witnesses were several police officers. One officer, Andy Standiff of Newcastle Police, explains his following. So I have his actual report that he gave. But before I move on to that. So yeah, this is where we get 3 years of sightings, pretty much 13 months apart every time. And then this last one, it pops off.
It just goes nuts.
Yeah, tons of big, three big crafts as far as we can tell. It may be two, maybe four, you know, you don't really know.
Mm.
But the one police reports I could find were at least three different locations at the exact same time from this massive area. We're seeing football field-sized UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And some of people reported, the little ones, I found reports of them being like everything from bird-sized to like plane-sized, you know.
Okay.
That's kind of the range, you know.
So it's all different sizes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if, you know, when we get to what it could be, you know, if that leads to a certain thought or not. Or if they're looking for something. If they really are looking for something. And yeah. This is, they're finally letting out the quote-unquote scouts to go find something.
It would be odd if they were looking for something for that long, though, for over 3 year period.
Unless it's a research project.
Okay.
And this is the one time they couldn't find their subject. The one guy that had the tracker up his nose named Jay.
Yeah.
He went on vacation that week, and they're like, ah!
You think they're looking for somebody on the ground?
From the beams of light, the searchlights, it seems like, yes, they're looking for something on the ground.
What if they're looking for something in between?
Well, I may have missed it in the first, you know, when it was going over the highway and they seen the searchlights. It was looking at cars with this beam of light, and it kept moving. Like, it was really, I don't know if it's looking for a downed craft. Like, if this just happens to be an area, or if it's looking for some kind of fuel source that we don't really know about.
There's some piece of radiated
I mean,
metal that's...
All we know is the thing could be powered by rotting iron. You know, we don't know what an alien... No,
I like Iron, too.
Iron.
Yeah.
That's from Avatar.
Is it?
Iron. I can never say his name.
I just know Norm MacDonald always pronounced it Iron.
Iron.
And Larry King was like, Iron? You mean Iron? Yeah, Iron. I don't know. It's just dumb funny. All right, sorry.
So what? You want me to continue with this cop's report or anything? Yeah. Thoughts yet?
Thoughts. Immediately, the first thing I thought of, though, was... Have you seen, and I think the video was fake, but I can't remember for sure, but it was just like a big blimp kind of object that Amazon had, or they're going to have.
With the drones.
With the drones that come out of it.
The video is fake, but they do have that.
Okay, that's what I thought. I knew something about it was.
That was not, okay, wasn't fake, because I think it originally came out with Amazon showing like what they wanted to do, like a concept video.
Yeah.
And then I don't think they're that good yet. I think right now they're using trucks.
Huh?
So like a big drone, like a truck full of drones, essentially, goes to an area and delivers all the packages.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
okay.
It comes back to the truck.
Comes back to the truck. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's what
I don't think they're ever going to do the blimp.
But it seems feasible.
No, because blimps are horrible to maintain and upkeep.
Nah, that's not a lie.
You ever been to the Goodyear right here in Ohio? I got a picture of me fishing like 10 feet from the Goodyear blimp.
Okay.
It's why it's the only active blimp, like, really in the U.S.
Why is that?
Because of the amount of crew it takes and, you know, to keep the gas and everything. Like, just a lot.
They just don't know how to run these things anymore. They don't make things like they used to.
And it's slow.
Yeah, but efficient. Doesn't take much fuel to push around a big balloon.
No, but it takes you a while to get there.
That's fine.
And it's the Amazon will not take inefficiency for speed.
Shoot, but yeah, whatever. But that's what it reminds me of.
No, I can see that, though. You're right. You know, with this kind of like big body and all these essentially drones coming out of
it. Flying out of it and, yeah, doing whatever they're programmed to do.
Yeah. All right. So from the cop from Newcastle, I was working at 4 p.m. to midnight tour and assigned to set up some radar to look for speeding cars. And I look up in the sky and saw a series of lights. At first, I thought it was a plane. It was at quite a distance, quite far away. But it was. It was really quite large. As I recall, there were mostly white lights, but there were also some green lights mixed in. It was alternating green and white lights. It approached my vehicle, and it stopped, and it seemed to hover over me. I was looking at the thing, thinking, what is this? I wasn't afraid. I was just amazed. I was in awe of it. I didn't know what it was. The only thing I could recall that most of it was I was amazed that there was no noise. There was no hum. There was no engine. There was no sound. It was absolutely, truly silent. This particular report was supported by another that occurred exactly at the same time. This time, the witness being a senior manager at IBM, and his name was Ed Burns. Mm. So another high-ranking person. He was also only about 10 miles away from the officer. He says that the first clue into something strange going on was the radio started acting oddly. So here's Burns' account. So these are accounts at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
We have the professor at the manager at IBM and a cop that radioed this in immediately.
Right.
So I just want to point that out with this kind of with UFO stuff. This is just credible witness on credible witness with correlating data. So out of nowhere, so here's what Burns says. Out of nowhere, I got a lot of static on my radio. I thought maybe it was the wrong number as in signal. And then I went over to turn it the dial again. When I looked up, I saw this craft. It was a triangular shaped ship. It was, and the back of it had a was as large as a football field at least. There was also no noise. I'm not into astronomy, but what it was, what I witnessed that night was not from this planet. Well, you know what he means, like
yeah,
not traditional,
not known. Yeah.
So, what do you think of that so far?
This was 80s, right? 83, is that what you said this year when these events are taking place? Is that right?
Yeah, this is 83, March. Okay.
Right now, the only thing I'm thinking of is just like military technology. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Now, we'll get to there.
Right, yeah.
But that's one of my thoughts is the, from the Avengers, their big hover ship.
Avengers. I don't know. I don't.
They had their giant lab on this hover ship in the upper atmosphere.
Kind of like from X-Men, the X, what's that, jet, whatever it's called? I don't know.
Kind of, except there's like an island.
Oh, so a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like they didn't know they were on one for a while. Like some of the people didn't know.
Like the movie Sky High, with the schools on. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. All right.
The ninth Sky High thing.
Ooh, what was that?
They're working. Everybody, they're doing construction like right by the house.
Okay.
And the whole house just vibrated for a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that was...
That was the ship.
Ah, checking in on us.
The ship seemed to generate sightings all up and down the valley that evening, starting a motorist and spotted numerous times by the police officers. The following evening, the object was seen by various people yet again. So before I continue, all over the valley. And that's why they kind of think there was multiple of them, because they were seen kind of in the same spot multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But the cops were saying calls didn't stop.
They just kept pouring in. Yeah.
So it was these things were low and all over the valley with all these little UFOs buzzing around them as they were searching for something. In a very populated area. In a high-end area, too.
Yeah.
This isn't like West Virginia, you know, when we talk about the government screwing with those guys.
Right, yeah.
It's just, you know, a high-end area with a lot of money. So then it starts again the next night. So let me get to there. Spotted numerous times following the object, various people yet again. The appearance was always nearly identical. Large depictions as big as a football field or as large as an aircraft carrier were thrown around regularly. The V-shaped or triangle, the lights studding the exterior. However, interestingly enough, the reports showed variations in behavior for the object or objects, such as they would shoot beams of light, spin around like a top, shoot away at fantastic speeds out of nowhere, display patterns of lights, detach what appeared to be smaller craft from their main body, or wink in and out of existence.
Hmm.
So all these different crafts, and this is all correlated. Multiple people reported these behaviors from
same behaviors.
Craft.
Yeah.
So blinking in and out. Releasing smaller UFOs, spinning around like a top, and shooting off at incredible speeds, which Grandpa's UFO, that's what he had.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen so something, and then it, whoop, shot just, off.
My brother had one like that, too.
And, yeah, so, you know, it's common things for UFOs. It's just weird that it's all happening at kind of one time.
Right.
Different, you know.
Different areas, but same object.
And the patterns of colors. Some people have talked like it was almost like they were talking to each other.
Communicating.
With the colors.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the patterns were purposeful.
Right.
They went like you see with some like jellyfish and stuff like that where they're just making, you know, they still have patterns, but it's kind of just willy-nilly. This seemed like they were purposely doing communications.
Okay.
And that's just what people felt. You know, there's no proof to back any of that up.
Right. There's no science, peer-reviewed scientific study on it.
Yeah. So one witness named Jim Brooke, a biomechanical engineer, allegedly saw the silent circle over the Carton Falls Reservoir, dropping what seemed to be light probes into the water, shooting a red beam of light into the reservoir, and indeed the object seemed to often stop over bodies of water.
Okay.
So this biomechanical engineer seen them drop orbs into the water, shoot beams of light into the water. These UFOs as a whole were often seen paused over water.
Hmm.
So very much water-oriented.
Isn't Is it in New York, the Finger Lakes, or is that Pennsylvania?
That's right. That's New York. That's the other side of New York. Not very close to this area.
Okay, never mind then.
Not saying it's not, you know, it's not far. It's, you know, it's the same state.
There's a lot of water there, too.
It's one of those states that's just, once you get away from the coast, it's just water.
It's big, too.
It's a big state.
Yeah.
So the office stops over by water. It left people absolutely baffled at the time the incident hit the news in major ways, finally catching the attention of UFO researcher Philip J. Imbro and J. Allen Hynek, who had been a senior consultant on the Air Force Project Blue Book.
Okay.
So, I'm saying his name wrong. Imbrogno? It's I-M-B-R-O-G-N-O.
Imbrogno? I don't know.
Imbrogno. I'll go with Imbrogno and Hynek. Arrived in the area, began interviewing as many eyewitnesses about the UFOs that kept appearing as they could. Before I continue... So there's a story, and I can't substantiate this, of how Hynek actually heard about this.
Okay.
Hynek knew nothing about this. This is after Hynek's Blue Book days.
Oh, okay. That's right. It would be.
Yeah, because he got out of there in the early 70s, I think. Okay. I think he was like 60, Vietnam.
I don't remember.
And the commies.
Okay.
I don't know the dates off the top of my head. Anyways, Hynek heard this from his mailman.
Oh, wow.
That like, hey, yeah, are you guys going up to investigate those things? And he's like, you know, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're seeing hundreds of UFOs over the Hudson Valley, you know. Like, oh, no, we're going right now. Get in the car. Anyways, and it may have been Imbrogno that heard it, too. I can't remember.
Gotcha.
So they begin interviewing all kinds of eyewitnesses. Before I continue, we'll take our little ad break. You ready? Let me get it queued up.
All right. From our... sponsor, Flavors of the Forest. Enjoy.
Keep talking for a second.
Enjoy, and now. And I'm here interviewing the great Bigfoot. And today, Bigfoot has prepared me a meal. Bigfoot, what did you make for us today? Ooh, fried porcupine on a stick, eh? Oh, grilled, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, is that... Ooh, this tastes absolutely delicious, Bigfoot. How did you create such an amazing dish? Oh, it's all in the seasoning, you said. Huh? Oh, so what's your secret ingredient? Oh, this right here, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust. Oh, this is raw, straight, freeze-dried garlic? No filler? Wow, this tastes amazing. Oh, you've got... Wait, and I'll try that too. What's that you got? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'd never had deer heart, but let's give it a go. Oh, it's a little spicier. What's in this? Spicy raw garlic dust? Wow, also from Flavors of the Forest. Well, where can I find this? Oh, in the links below. So if you're looking to season up your meal today, why don't you go to the links below. Reach out to Flavors of the Forest at flavorsforest.com and get you a bottle of raw garlic dust or spicy raw garlic dust, also known as Bigfoot breath. Talk to you later.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/ Corn Crew, and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed all that funness. All
right. Okay, jump right back into it.
Hynek and Imbrogno. So they set up phone hotlines for people who had seen these objects and very quickly received hundreds of calls. They actually rented a building, like, in one of these towns.
Just to take calls?
To have a headquarters.
Like call center, yeah.
Because it was literally so many people had seen, it became a whole job in itself. They clearly had hundreds of phone calls, along with floods of calls the police had received, causing them to estimate that they were perhaps thousands and thousands of eyewitnesses who observed the phenomena on March 24th alone. So the last one had thousands of eyewitnesses.
Okay.
The police were, at this point, very helpful for them. The majority of these being along the Tamanac Parkway. Many of the eyewitnesses were found to be reliable and upstanding citizens. All of them described pretty much the same enormous boomerang-shaped craft. The two researchers became convinced that something very odd was going on, but the police had their other ideas.
Okay. Other ideas?
Of what was going on. So, yeah. Hynek and Imbrogno were pretty convinced it was whatever the UFO phenomena was. You know,
Hynek was notorious
for not really giving, saying it was aliens or anything like that.
It's just funny in my head, like, okay, we got these two guys, yes, and they both agree, you know, something strange and odd is totally going on. The police... Yeah, nope. But we have our other ideas. I'd love to hear what they are.
I want you to guess what the police think it is.
Let me think of something as dumb as I can think. Kids with kites. Is that one of them? Some science experiment. A weather balloon. Or runaway, probably a hot air balloon.
You're kind of... danced around it.
So
according to law enforcement authorities, keep in mind, a lot of these eyewitnesses were cops,
mm-hmm.
like the Frogman.
Right.
Until they got made fun of, and then they had to make a story.
Right.
So here's the story they came up with. According to law enforcement authorities, the whole thing was a prank being pulled by a normal ultralight plane and or helicopters flying in formation in such a way they seem more mysterious.
Ah, the ultimate prank.
So, ultralights in helicopters. So, that's...
I know, we know what ultralights are because they used to fly around
They still do.
Yeah, not as much as before.
No, the one guy died.
Well, not on the ultralight, but...
No, there's a little plane, though.
Huh?
His plane, the guy that flew the plane died.
Yeah, I know that. But anyways, not from flying planes.
Let me finish. The Federal Aviation Administration agreed with this theory, as did the officials from the nearby Stewart Air Force Base. Supporting the plane theory even further was a report from the air traffic control specialist named Anthony Capobelli, who had also seen the phenomena and had come to the conclusion that it was just planes in formation. I have a quote from him. Okay, keep in mind, thousands of eyewitnesses at night, dead of winter,
planes
upstate New York.
Planes in formation.
Giant planes, like these football field-sized things, thousands of eyewitnesses, including cops and
right.
professors and all, you know,
all
highly educated and, you know, credible eyewitnesses.
All witnessing the same thing.
Moving slow.
Right.
Pausing. These formations, these planes were stopping midair in formation for a little bit and dropping glow sticks.
Right, into the water. And
yeah. Okay. I just want to read what Cap Anthony has to say. The first time I observed the formation, it looked a little peculiar, you'd say.
A little.
And from our vantage point in the tower, they just appeared to be some big lights because they were flying in tight formation. I didn't think the formation flew over any individual's heads at thousands of feet, that they were any way you could mistake them for anything but a formation flying, due to the sound of the aircraft engines. And I imagine that the thousands of feet, you could hardly really determine that it was an aircraft. So he's saying that they were actually thousands of feet up.
Not 500 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying that the cops and the hundreds of eyewitnesses, thousands of eyewitnesses, that seen this thing pause over their heads and have search beams on the highway. And
right.
We're just looking at this. No, it was actually planes in formation.
Multiple.
A couple thousand feet. We seen them at the tower.
Right.
We seen them. Don't worry. And they're just planes. People just screwing with people. Thousands of feet, not 500 feet.
The ultimate prank. Let's take my ultralight. Hey, guys. Let's go take our ultralights.
Hundreds of ultralights. You'd have to make this formation. Him at thousands of feet, how many ultralights would it take? Or helicopters.
Guys, you know.
Helicopters are loud.
Do you know how funny this would be if all 800 of us got together on our ultralights and flew up 2,000 feet and pretended to be a bigger plane? You know how many people
let's
will
do
get?
It every 13 months and then start doing it every day.
It'll be hilarious.
A four-year prank.
Yes. The payoff will be immense. You guys have no idea. They'll still be talking about it on podcasts 40 years later. And look, it's paying off. It's finally paying off.
Let me continue. There was also a certified hoax when someone prankish night pilots buzzed over the region of April of 1983. So the following after all the U.S. stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is months after. After it all came up and the U.S. Air Force and everybody was saying it was pranks. Then a prank happened, which was planes buzzing people.
Oh, it was only a month after. March to April.
Sorry, a month, yes.
Yeah.
The same of which could not be said for the other waves of sightings. So, in fact, many of the eyewitnesses insisted they would know the difference between planes that they had just seen and refused to believe that objects were just normal aircrafts. So, there was a hoax after that was trying to do the same thing, and it did not look anything like the UFOs.
Right.
Just like the Phoenix Lights.
So, it's just, that points to me like military cover-up.
Huh?
Military cover-up.
Yeah, but you remember the Phoenix Lights with the big giant
glowing
triangles with all the lights, and like, no, that was flares.
Right.
Guys, that was flares. We dropped flares.
And then they tried it, and they couldn't recreate it.
Wind.
Right.
The wind's different. Yeah. Normally, yesterday, the wind would let the flares float.
Right.
The flares would float.
Different conditions
into
today.
Into a triangle and take off, you know, float. It's fine. Don't ask questions.
New year, new me.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. This, plus the fact that besides the April hoax, had no one had ever been caught in the act. There was no suspects. So keep in mind that hundreds of ultralights, let's say 20 ultralights at total.
Okay, let's be modest.
Let's be modest.
Yeah.
There would be records of launching a plane.
Yeah.
Hundreds of planes, or 20 planes.
And one of those 20 people would crack and say, like, yeah, I did that. I was part of that.
Or helicopters would even be more so data to track.
And a lot louder. So,
and there's no such thing as, not really such thing as a private helicopter pilot. Like, you hire those people.
Right, yeah.
You know.
And have 20 of them. And not only that, like, we live in a very rural area in the world. And sometimes, you know, a couple times a year, you'll see them. They'll fly helicopters over all the farms and stuff with their big spotlights and shine down. Because I think they've been looking for, you know,
marijuana
probably, any other illegal
that happens
thing. Yeah, they do it about twice a year, I'd say. And I've been outside when they're doing their flyovers and whatnot, and you can hear those helicopters, and you can hear it's not like a normal plane that flies over. You can tell it's a helicopter. So for one to be, let's just say, if they are helicopters, you're going to hear it. You're going to know exactly what it is. It's not going to be like some sort of mystery with these crazy light shows going on in the air.
Don't worry, it's not over sound. Yet either.
Okay.
But like it's besides the April hoax, no one's ever been caught in the act. There were no suspects. As well in the fact that ultralight planes would be unlikely to be able to remain so silent and pull off these aerial activities witnessed or hold a formation so well.
Right.
And that so many people had reported these UFOs, and Brogno and Hynek came to the conclusion the planes in formation were not an acceptable explanation.
No, not at all.
And Hynek, you know, for the longest time was the guy that would do that. You know, he was supposed to explain away.
The debunker.
Yeah, he was the debunker. And like I said, we're going to do this season sometime. We'll do a Hynek Life thing because he is a cool example of how the UFO like phenomenon. He was one of the fundamental formers
right.
of it.
Right.
From being a scientist that was paid to debunk them by the government to becoming a believer.
Right.
And, you know, making movies with Spielberg and all this stuff.
Ugh.
Well, yeah. So in the meantime, though, a wave of sightings continued with another one on March 31st. And yet again in the summer on July 12th, 19th, and the 24th. And yet another in the following year, March 25th of 1984. Each one of these waves generated hundreds, if not thousands, of sightings. Some of these reports were rather unsettling, such as the crew at the Indiana Point nuclear plant, who claimed to have a massive craft had hovered just over the nuclear reactors, caused the facility's security to shut down, which caused their supervisor to almost have his men open fire on the object.
Wow.
Before it suddenly shot into the night, like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So that one's great. So I'll re-say it.
Right.
So again, that year, March 31st. Then in the summer, three times, in July 12th, 19th, and 24th. So it kind of fit in that same pattern as the March one, every couple days almost, you know, about a week apart.
Yeah.
Ish, you know, 5-6 days. And then again, March the following year. But it had hovered over a nuclear power, like right over one of the stacks. The whole base, the nuclear reactor plant, shut down.
Like the security system?
Yeah. And they said, like, they couldn't check cooling temperatures and anything like that. They were assuming their systems were still working,
mm-hmm.
but all the, like, everything turned off.
Gotcha.
And it's just sitting 100 feet above them, sitting right on top of the reactor.
Right.
And they look up at it, and they're really about to start shooting at the thing, and then it finally goes, whoop,
and takes off. It reminds me of that story, that UFO story, I'm sure everyone knows it or heard it, where it's like in the UK, there was that...
Yeah, the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Yeah, where that it hovered over where they had the nuclear warheads
they
or whatever.
So the public didn't know there was nuclear warheads there until years later.
Yeah, okay.
Because this UFO was basically rubbing the ground where the warhead was hidden.
Didn't it, like, activate it?
Yeah, it turned it on and off. And then on and off. Yeah. On and off a bunch of times.
Like, just to say, I can do this.
Yeah, and then it left.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're 100% right. It was so the Rendlesham Forest incident was the one where it landed and the guy touched it and he got downloaded information.
Oh, okay.
But it was seen around the same time. They think it was the same UFO that was screwing with the nuclear power. Like you said, a warhead that was not supposed to be there, violated a lot of things.
Wow. You mean the UK government?
No, that was the American.
Oh,
that was an American base in the UK.
Oh, okay.
With a nuke pointed at Russia.
Makes more sense.
Both of those were American bases.
Hmm. We have military bases all around the world, over 850 around the world, and all funded by your tax-paying money.
So even more such flaps would pop up from the coming years, until it seemed to stop in 1986. And Brago and Hynek would estimate that more than 5,000 people had seen these objects. Almost the entire valley had seen these objects. And they would write their book about the entire encounter titled Night Siege, the Hudson Valley UFO Sightings. There was also able to find some certain idiosyncrasies among all the data they managed to collect, such as the sightings were clustered very tightly, and they seemed to fall almost always on Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays at night at disproportionate degrees. So Monday would always be the highest amount of sightings, Sunday would always be the least amount of sightings.
Hmm.
But it was almost always happened on Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. And what it seems, why this seems to be is anybody's guess.
Right.
Considering the sheer number of independent sightings in the Hudson Valley between 1981 and 1986, the consistency of the reports and the number of trained observers, as well as the intensity for over the course of the years, it certainly seems that although some people may have tried to imitate it and hoax it, the phenomenon itself remains mired in mystery. Indeed, the UFO flap of the Hudson River Valley have never really been satisfyingly explained. And some of the most widely witnessed UFO phenomena ever to be reported. What was going on in there? Yeah. So basically, this is a giant cradle of UFO sightings mm-hmm. that nobody ever talks about.
Right.
You know, over 90% of the population, 6,500 people lived in the valley. 5,000 people had seen these UFOs over the years.
It's a lot.
Thousands of people a night. You know, right. So most of these people had seen it more than once.
Right.
You imagine you're one of those guys that hadn't seen it.
Right. What are you guys talking about?
It's probably a guy worked night shift, you know, that in the factory, so they're inside.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Just never got a chance.
Yeah, and they're like, I missed it again!
Were most of the sightings at night or during the day or both?
Almost
or?
Always at night.
Okay.
Dusk was the earliest, like, kind of going into night.
Okay.
But not to say they weren't there, they just may not could have seen them. May not have had the ability to witness them during the day.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're going to get into what this could be. And you already kind of hit on one of the big ones.
Military.
A military government test, like I said. So let me go back. And like I'm doing this one a little differently. The Stewart Air Force Base is right there. And the Federal Aviation Administration is run out of there. Huge government facilities are right there. So if this was, let's say, a government test, it would make sense.
We know right where they're coming from.
And immediately, the police changed their story to match what the government was saying. And not to say anything against the police in this case, because a lot of them were witnesses. But if Big Fed comes down and says it was planes,
right,
you're going to say it was planes. If you've never watched anybody at home, the Project Blue Book series, I think I watched it on Tubi. It's great. You know, it's very dramatized and stuff like that. But it just show some of the bullying the Air Force did during these UFO flaps.
I believe it.
Like the threatening and stuff. Yeah. People not dying, disappearing, but people losing their jobs and everything that. Because the federal government would come in and be like, guess what? This guy didn't work for you anymore.
Control. Nobody in
this, you know, this bullying aspect that the federal, that Air Force did on the top level.
Right. Coming down. Did.
And a lot of the Air Force people, like a lot of the people they destroyed their lives off, were Air Force employees, were pilots and stuff like that. And they would just destroy their whole life and put them in insane asylums.
You can't speak out against the machine. Exactly. The machine is our government.
So that this first thing could be that these were government tests because the Air Force base was right there. They probably weren't supposed to fly over human lived areas, like heavily.
And yeah, here they are scanning, like, well, they're shooting down beams of light. We don't know if they're scanning or not. Let's say
it's found technology or pieced together technology.
Yeah.
They may not know how it fully works.
Okay.
So, what's his name?
Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar, thank you. Talked about that.
Yeah.
Is that they had these craft and they could reverse engineer parts of, not all of them.
Like the, what was that big, it's like the gravity.
Element 151. Creates its own gravitational field and that's what powered it.
Yes, but there was that, it was like the one. It's like a ball, basically. He was saying they were trying to open it. They were trying to cut
like
in half.
It was like two plates.
Yeah.
There's like the engine. They think the engine's inside this. Whatever's inside this.
What's that thing called? Like a, not a thermoconductor.
I have no idea. It's made up words.
Something that, but they tried cutting it in half and exploded. And
no, the guy tried to, it wouldn't cut in half. I do remember what you're talking about. He tried to take a piece of it.
Yeah.
To test it, and it killed him.
Right, yeah.
Because cutting into it just a little tiny bit.
They didn't know what it was doing.
And it went, like, boom.
Yeah.
Like, and Lazar talks about it, it's like giving a nuclear reactor to people in the 1600s.
Right, yeah.
They know power comes out of it. They don't know if they open that hatch,
how it works.
It's going to be, they're going to be drenched in radiation that will kill them.
Right, yeah.
So it could be something like that, to where this giant floating platform essentially was pieced together technology from either ancient cultures or aliens or interdimensional beings, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to test it at an Air Force base and they kind of keep losing control over it. And it keeps floating over, you know, heavily populated areas.
It's their big kite. It's their weather balloon kite.
And it could be something like that, where it's actually like a Hindenburg.
Yeah.
A Zeppelin disguised, and it has big fins on it.
And it's just to collect bugs from the aeroplankton.
Save that.
Okay.
So what do you think about that aspect of it?
U.S. government?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very well could be. I mean, again, you can never count them out. This is the 80s. We've already had this technology to do this stuff. So if it were them, I would not be shocked. So,
yeah. What's your percentage?
68%.
68%. Now, what if my next kind of one, this is either a true alien / interdimensional. So this happens to be a portal area. Like you already mentioned, the Finger Lakes is famous for being a portal area. Mm-hmm. New York's has all kinds of weird monsters, portal-like activity.
New York's a weird state.
It's one of these weird states.
Even it's one of the top five in Bigfoot sightings.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. So what if it's what's happening here is that this just happens to be, like we talked about in New Zealand, where all the UFOs kept coming out of the, what they call interdimensional doors.
Right, right, right.
So what if there's one here in the mountains and it just happens to fly right over the Hudson Valley?
Right.
So all these UFOs, this is their first, and then once they kind of orientate themselves,
right,
they shoot off in the direction or they leave.
Where they need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's why they're kind of acting weird, is they're getting their bearings of where they're at.
Right, coming out and readjusting
and then going.
Right, yeah. Refragging their circuits.
There you go. So what if it's something like that? These are actual interdimensional craft. Because they're kind of like our technology, kind of not, with the way they move. Being silent and hovering sounds like a balloon, but they were able to shoot off at incredible speeds, and they spin around like a top really fast.
Just like typical UFO stories. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I mean, same thing, very well could be.
These are full of dog men.
Gosh, I don't know about that.
Grays and tall whites.
That far, but I mean, it could be interdimensional or something. It could be our government doing interdimensional stuff. Like
injured people.
And it could be something like that. Yeah. I mean, I can't put my finger on this, like, for certain to say it's this, but yeah, I very well can see this being part of it.
Okay.
67%.
What was your other one?
68.
Okay. Just checking.
They're all have a scale of 100, so.
I get it. Yeah. I'm not questioning your method.
It's not like your weighted wheel on Patreon.
Got to get on Patreon and what the heck he's talking about.
Yeah.
Do you have any before I get to my last one?
I think I know what your last one is. I think you already hinted at it, or I may have stumbled upon it back.
Yeah, but do you have anything besides that one?
I mean, no, if I'm going to settle on anything, I'm going to say it's either government or interdimensional, like alien, you know, quote unquote alien, something probably not positive for humankind.
I'm not sold on the one I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
But it's just one that some of the activities made me think of it. Organic UFOs.
Yeah.
That were right by a mountain range, seen seasonally, which could be feeding or reproductive, seen multiple times with what could be babies or prey sources around them. The manta rays, depending on which depiction of the manta rays you get, they're either gelatinous see-through, but we've heard some accounts where they're black or they're really dark colored with their bioluminescent lights. They may have the ability to go back and forth between that, being see-through or black and white, so that may be why they're not seen during the day as much, is they're harder to see, and their bioluminescent patches aren't as bright during the day.
Right.
And then most time people may mistake them. If they're high enough up, you mistake them for the stars and
stars, just even a plane in the day. Yeah. Like.
So if these guys were low and they're feeding and they're using these valleys and stuff, it's just to me, it was weird. It was so seasonal.
Right, yeah.
Besides the one scene in the summer. And then going back to the Betty and Barney Hill episode a long time ago, the nuclear power plants, you know, this UFO was basically sitting on top of one of the reactors.
Right, yeah.
And whatever it was doing, it could be eating, you know, byproducts.
Absorbing nutrients from it, yeah. And, energy, I don't know.
And this whole thing with these organic UFOs being somewhat obsessed with garbage dumps.
Yeah.
And nuclear depositories.
There's something to it.
Whether it's, you know, I think it's a food source, you know, a lot of fungus and other animals can eat radiation. They love radiation, plastics, and that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it's that, but it's just something. And when we did our live show, a couple of the famous manta ray sightings were on New York beaches.
Ah.
When they were parking their cars and seeing in the clouds and the fog, these giant manta rays flying overhead, feeding on bug bloom that was happening on the beach.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just something to throw out there.
You can't ever rule out the organic UFOs.
No.
Especially on this show.
I think in my head, though, I'm leaning towards the government.
Yeah, me too.
Just especially with how fast they turned around and
said it was a hoax. Story, yes. And then came up with a ridiculous excuse. It's like they have to throw something out there. That's the only thing. That's the thing. I mean, we got all this technology.
If you watch the Hynek show,
yeah,
they talk about that too. Like, really, that's
the excuse you come up with? Yeah. I mean, let's say we have all this advanced technology and, you know, this advanced ships. You'd think we'd have some sort of explanation to explain it away other than just something ridiculous that anyone could just look at it and break it down and say, okay, well, that's not possible. Or that's just seems kind of idiotic.
Like, it seems like they purposely bullied somebody into agreeing to that.
Right,
what it
was. Right. So, yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I feel bad for the cops in this story, because a lot of the witnesses were cops. And they talked to the newspapers, and they talked to Hynek, and, the cops at first were really trying to help out Hynek in, I forgot his other name, in Brogno. And they were really trying to give him reports, and they were trying to help, and then all of a sudden they turned
on him.
Turned.
It's like that guy who, you know, they found the, what was it, the UFO at Area 51, and then turn around and immediately change the story to a weather balloon?
Well, because he was threatened. Right. He was a five-star general.
Yeah.
And only two five-star generals came and bullied him into being an idiot and retiring.
Right, exactly.
And I definitely think that's what happened here with the cops, is it? They were all for it because most of them were eyewitnesses.
Right, they seen it.
And then some big bureaucrat or some, you know, high brass comes down. And
or like, Men in Black, maybe.
And that could be it, too.
Yeah.
Come in and it's like, guess what?
Right.
It was ultralight planes flying in formation. And that's the story. And they're like, we don't want to do that. Well, here's where your kids play. And you
right,
know,
yeah.
And start here's giving the you notes. List of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know what? It was ultralight planes.
And flying in formation.
And I'll never blame somebody for having to switch like that. When they start threatening your family and stuff,
well,
like
yeah,
that.
It's
family
different.
First.
Yep.
I don't care. Like, I think that's something lost in our community sometimes, is we blame a lot of these people for maybe switching up the story.
Yeah.
You don't know who was threatened or
right. Yeah, you don't know their backstory. You know my wait. Yeah, I seen this stupid meme, but I'm just gonna repeat it. It's this picture of this kid, and it said, "You know my swag, not my story, or you know my story, not my swag." So that's the same thing for these stories. You know there's stories, not their swag.
In this episode, we found out you're more abducted.
No, I think I'm just an idiot.
No, I mean, when you found out about your UFO that would visit you.
Yeah, and when I remember this too, that plane, I'm going to put it on a quote-unquote plane, when it flew in from the right and it exited the right. So it flew in like it flew.
Like a boomerang?
Yeah, kind of, but not spinning.
Not like, spinning, but came in and went back.
But it was so fast. It was so fast. And so big. And that's why.
Maybe they thought you were a danger.
Just checking on me.
Oh, yeah, like they're a study animal.
Yeah, you know what?
They can't let it get eaten by a bear.
It was my mom, like, monitoring, like, you're not at home. Are you okay? Checking on me. Sending these spy satellite things to make sure. Yep, he's fine. Good. Go on.
I can't believe you were abducted.
I never was.
Jay, we keep unraveling more and more hidden memories, blocked memories.
They weren't blocked. It just
I didn't remember that until we unlocked it. And now I started shaking and drooling. Yeah. We had to take a 30-minute break they didn't even know about.
Yeah.
I got to get you back to consciousness.
No, that's just because my bowels are bubbling.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 11.
We'll catch you next week with more Cryptids of the Corn podcast, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save